Hallelujah. Father, let's come before you right now in the name of Jesus and just ask, Father God, that you would be with us here this morning, that you would guide and lead us, Father God, into your truth and not man's truth. And Father God, we would listen and hearken our ear to the Word of God, because the Word of God is what brings life to us, and it brings change to us, and it brings direction and correction when we need it. Father God, I just thank you and praise you for the Word that you've provided in our life. I thank you for an awesome pastor that searches out the Word of God and spends the time to meditate, to understand and to receive the true Word of God so that we can grow thereby. I thank you, Father God, for the commitment that's in his heart that he would be a man of integrity when he delivers that message to us. I thank you that we can have confidence in that, Father. And then when he is in error, Father God, he makes corrections. He doesn't just preach what he thinks. He preaches what you say, Father. I thank you and praise you for it. Amen. Father, I thank you for the word today, Father, that it would come into our lives, Father, in such a way that it would make us a better person, that it would lead us and guide us into all truth, Father God. Because we know this world is dying and fading and growing tired of itself, and it's going to be folded up at some point, Father God. But we know that the Word of God is here to sustain us as believers and sustain this world while we're in it. And I know and pray, Father God, that every single day that we walk the Word and we do the Word and we learn the Word, we're growing and becoming a better agent, Father God, for your kingdom in this world. Father, I pray that every single person get a hold of the vision of what you've called them to be and who you've called them to be, so they can reach their generation and reach their life, their families, and reach their workplaces, and reach the people that they touch every single day with your life and your truth and your Word. Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 All right, so I wanted to talk to you this morning a little bit about what I believe this church is about. What this church's purpose is, what this church is, this fellowship, this community of people. Man, what a great group of people. You know, I've been going here since about 89. It's a long time. Seems like. But it seems like just yesterday. But I thank God every single day for my church. I thank God every single day for the ability to come and fellowship and be in a place where I can rub elbows with and be challenged by and grow and increase in the kingdom of God. So I wanted to talk this morning a little bit about what I believe is the purpose of Byesworth Christian Center, at least what it's meant to me. You know, I've been serving pastor now pretty closely is what I meant to say, for about since about 97. And I said this last time I taught, but you know, it's important to me that I understand what my pastor believes and I get a hold of his heart. Because, you know, I'm not just here serving my own purpose and my own vision. I'm here to submit and to serve alongside someone else. Praise God. And I thank God every day for my pastor. I thank God every day that I have a man that would serve and commit himself to the Word of God, because I benefit because of it. Amen. So I've spent a lot of time to try to determine the purpose of Byesworth. I spent a lot of time thinking about it and praying about it and trying to get a hold of what I believe God wants to do in this church. And we, you know, we sometimes, you know, as a church, you know, you wonder, should we go here? Should we go there? Should we go here? And, you know, we've all been, anybody that's been in this church for a long time knows, we go here, we go there. Sometimes we get a little confused, but it always comes back to what God put in pastor's heart in the beginning when he started this ministry, which was training, stabilizing, and maturing the believer. And then I believe it was of the Lord, but recently pastor added that reaching is something that we have to have as an important part of what we are committed to as a church. We got to reach out to the lost. Amen. Yep. We can't just come here and sit, get fat in the Word and not share the Word of God with other people. That's not what God intended for anybody to do when they got saved. Right. He didn't get us committed to him so that we can come in here and just sit in our little world and not ever reach out and see other people change with the same word that we have. Amen? I believe that when we truly are reaching and sharing the life of God with people is when God is truly reaching and sharing his life with us. The greatest things I've been able to share in my life are the things that God has touched me with. It's not some theory or concept or an idea that's out there. I haven't read 50 books to learn about what I can share with other people. The best and most passionate thing I can share with people are the things that God has allowed me to experience in my walk with Him. Praise God. We are called as Christians to experience His life every single day. We are called as Christians to grow and to get increased in our life, in our character, and to grow into the image of Christ. And when we do that, then we truly do have things to share with people, don't we? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Before I get into the depth of talking about the vision, though, I wanted to share something with you. And you know, I think this is a good thing for me to share because I'm in a subordinate role to someone. If Pastor were to try to share this, it would be a little harder for him. He could share it, you know, but you might say, well, you're just serving yourself. All right? So this is a good thing for somebody that's in a subordinate role to share to the body of Christ. I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 14. It says, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, you know, let me stop right there. Therefore, you know, Paul's beginning to basically share with the Corinthian church that he's their father. You know, well, he birthed them, he shared the gospel with them, and he's the one that put them on the right road. And what happens is the enemy always, you can count on this, the enemy always will come in to distract us off of the road of where God puts us. You can count on that. You know, write it on your calendar and say, tomorrow the enemy's going to try to distract me. Because I guarantee you it's going to happen. Yep. You might as well write it on every day after that. Because it's going to happen. You know, it's going to happen. And it happened in the Corinthian church, and it happens in every church, and it happens anywhere where God's word is shared and proclaimed. The devil's going to come in to distract, to get people dissuaded, to move them off the gospel. So Paul's reminding them, hey, listen, I'm the one that shared the gospel with you. I'm the one that you received the gospel from. Why are you listening to everyone else that doesn't agree with me? I mean, that's basically what he was saying. Why are you being so divided amongst yourselves when it's not important where they're at and who and all these people? Yeah, we can have a lot of instructors, but who is your father? Who is your father? He said, therefore, I urge you, imitate me. Again, Christ. Again, in verse 15, he says, for though I might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. See, he didn't get them just because he was something great. He got them because of the gospel. What does the gospel represent? Jesus Christ. It's not because Paul was great. It's not because he was a wonderful man. It's because he was sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. If he wasn't sharing the gospel with them, then he would have been able to have got them into the kingdom of God. But because it was the gospel and he was under authority, under Christ, he was able to birth people and see them come into the sheepfold, so to speak. Yeah. Amen? So it says, therefore, I urge you, imitate me. For this reason, I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ. Now, I want to, you know, I caught something in verse 17 that I've never really seen before or never really kind of grasped before. You know what God is talking about right here? He's talking about delegated authority. Yes. Exactly. Do you know that? He's talking about how He works in His kingdom. Yes. Do you know God delegates authority in His kingdom? And you know what? What did He do? What did Paul do? He said, listen, I'm the one that birthed you. I begot you through the gospel. And then he said, I'm your father. You may have a ton of instructors. You may watch TBN. You may go over to this church. You may go over to that church. You may go here, go there, go where. But in the end, I'm Paul, and I'm the one that birthed you, begot you, through the gospel in the kingdom of God. Yep. Which means, what he's saying is, there's some form of authority or position of influence that Paul has upon that people. Amen? Now I want you to pick up on what he said in verse 17. What did he say? He said, I begot you. I'm your father. You have a lot of instructors. They're bringing a lot of confusion. I'm going to send someone that will change that scenario.
Yes. Amen.
See, Paul couldn't go himself. He had many other things he had to do. But what he said is, I'm going to send forth my son who I have worked with and I've labored with, and his name is Timothy, and he's going to come and he's going to be set in this position, and you will look to him like you look to me. See, that's delegated authority. You know, we don't have some pastor just floating out here on his own. You know, if he's not under the authority of God and he's not accountable to God, then he's nothing in the kingdom of God. And that's a reality. Okay? If he is floating out here on his own in some nebulous way and he's doing whatever he wants to do, how Dean would say, he's not in that funnel of authority that comes down from heaven. See, and what so many believers nowadays are doing, they're stepping in and out and in and out and in and out of the authority that God's placed in their life.
Yeah.
See, He gives you authority. He gives you people in your life to bring correction and direction, to give you a place of accountability in this world system. Because we know that our flesh has a tendency to want to go here and go there and go here and go there. That's just flesh. It's natural. People want to do that all the time. We do it as Christians all the time. You know, how many times have you ever went somewhere in your mind and just said, I'm going here. I'm sick of this place. Well, you know what? That's probably not of God if you're committed and founded in where you're supposed to be. Do you know, I'm not here to convince you that By His Word Christian Center is your church. I'm not here to convince you that By His Word Christian Center and Pastor Jan is your spiritual father. I can only tell you what I know to be true of me. And By His Word Christian Center for the last almost 20 years has been my church. Pastor Jan Butler for the last 20 years has been my spiritual father. And I know there's been a lot of instructors that I've heard from, books I've read, different things that have come my way. But in the end, where I've grown the greatest is when my fellowship and my just sitting in the pew and listening to my pastor speak forth into my life. And I've learned a lot from many other ministers. But where I grow and where I'm strong is in here, under my father, under my spiritual mentor. Because he knows me, he has a responsibility to shepherd me because I'm one of his sheep.
Yeah.
Do you know that's not just something just lightly, you know, figured out in somebody's mind? You're my sheep. That's something God instituted.
Yeah.
Do you know that? You know, when a shepherd had a responsibility for a flock, he had a responsibility for the flock. And if there was some owner of the sheep herd and he said, hey, guess what? I'm going to add two into your sheep flock today, in your flock. You know, he would have to say, yeah, bring them in. I can handle two more. And then somebody else would bring another four, five, or six, and then all of a sudden he'd have more. But it was all based on the accountability and responsibility of what he could handle. Now, I thank God that I believe God wants to bring more into this church. I believe our pastor is capable of handling many more. And we all hold responsibility to make sure that people hear the life of God. And they receive and they understand and then they get connected to a body. It doesn't matter whether it's By His Word Christian Center or some other Christian center. It doesn't matter whether it's some church or some community place. In the end, all that matters is that shepherd that's over that flock is called and set apart and sanctioned and set in by God. Because if they're not, then they're leading some other thing that's not of God. They're leading some other fold that's not of God. I'm not here to judge it. That's for each of us to judge ourselves. Amen?
Yep.
I know for me personally, I feel 100% convinced my pastor is called of God, anointed of God to be a pastor. And so I can fully commit myself to that calling.
Right, yeah.
In confidence.
Yep.
And when I do, I'm in a position of protection. I'm in a position where God can use me. See, and it's no different than what happened here in the Corinthian church. Paul set apart Timothy. Okay? God set apart Paul. And he wasn't even working on his own. He went and saw, guess what? When he decided to go and reach the Corinthian church and reach the Ephesian church and reach the Galatian church, what did he do? What did he do? Think about it. What did he do? He went and saw the disciples, right? And he said, hey, this is what I believe God shared with me. You guys are the ones that are like the, you know, guys that walked with the dude, right? So you must be pretty important. You know, he said, these are my chosen ones. You know, Paul wasn't one of those guys, right? He wasn't one of those guys. So what Paul did, and I believe led of God, he said, Paul, if you're going to have any kind of sanctioning in my church, you're going to have to go see these guys. Because you're going to preach a gospel that they're supposed to be preaching, but they kind of got swayed off of it for a minute. You're going to preach something to the Gentiles. They won't go to the Gentiles, even though I told Peter to go to Cornelius' home, you know, all that stuff. You know, he still didn't get the picture. So I'm going to call you out and I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. So I want you to go to these guys, these disciples that, yeah, my group, you know, that seems to be a little bit amiss right now. They're a little bit swayed. They're a little bit off track. I want you to go to them and I want you to share with them what I've shared with you. I want you to give them the vision that I've given you. I want you to give them the thing that I delivered to you in the backside of the wilderness when you were praying unto me, when I called you out from amongst the Gentiles or amongst those that were persecuting the church, and I said, I'm going to set you apart. I want you to go see them. Yep. Share with them what I shared with you. And guess what he did? He went and saw them, and what did they say? Hey, God's with this guy. We recognize. You know, I don't understand what he's saying. I don't understand where he's coming from. I don't even think the Gentiles are supposed to receive the kingdom of God. But we know Jesus Christ because we walked with him, talked with him, learned of him. We know his spirit. We know his heart. And we recognize that heart in this guy. And so they said, we don't understand it, but go ahead and go, Paul. We're not going with you, though, because we don't think we're supposed to go there. Amen. And so this is kind of the scenario that took place. And Paul went out. He was sent out by the disciples. He was, most importantly, sanctioned, called apart, set apart by God. Yes. Amen? It's important that we're called and set apart by God. Absolutely. If we're not called and set apart by God, we can be set apart by anybody in this human, in this natural world that ain't going to work. Right. You know? I can have 100 people that come up to me today and say, well, I'm convinced you're supposed to start a church. It don't matter to me. You ain't going to convince me. Right. Say it all you want. I'm not going. And I'm not starting because God has to sanction that, not 100 people.
That's right.
You know, I was recently talking with somebody who was dealing with a difficult situation in their church. I think I shared this with you guys before. But, you know, they were going through some tough times. And there was people kind of splitting off the church. You know, they're just kind of going here. And then they started to kind of set leaders up amongst themselves. Sounds a little bit like the Corinthian church to me, but I don't know. You guys be the judge. Amen? But all this stuff's happening. Okay? And I'm thinking, God's not in any of division. He's not going to start a work based on division. He just won't do it. He just won't do it. Even Pastor Jan, when he started this ministry, I've heard this testimony, I'm sure you have. He came from another ministry. And there were many people that were flocking to By His Word Christian Center at that time from that other church. And God had to work with Pastor to get his heart in the right place. And Pastor had to stand before the church and say, if you're coming here because you're dividing yourself from them, go back there and make itself right. Get the sanctions for the church and then come over. Amen? Is that not what he said, Sue, basically? I don't know if I'm doing it exactly right because I wasn't there then. But I've heard the story a few times. Why is that important? Because God can't bless somebody that has a divided heart. God can't bless a church that has a whole group full of people that have divided hearts. And he certainly, you know, even though all these people can divide themselves and create a fence and get into a position of division, it doesn't matter if they're in that place. God can't propped up a leader and bless that thing whatsoever. Which is why most divisions end up in chaos. Right. That's why most divided churches end up falling apart completely. Yes. It's not God's purpose. It's not God's plan. And I'm not saying pastors are perfect. They certainly aren't. And I know there's been a lot of pastors that have been involved in divided churches. Because they have divided themselves from the body of Christ. But it's more important than anything else that we are fixed under the authority that God has for our life. Amen. If we're in that, as Dean would call it, or whatever, Pastor, Dean cone of whatever, the cone, the silo, the whatever you want to call it. But I like the picture of it because I know when I'm in the silo, I'm okay. I don't understand anything else about it, but I know if I'm in there, I'm okay. And to me, I see that as His church in the earth, delegated authority. It's so easy to understand. It's not that hard. How many of you guys have been in a workplace where there's been division or strife? Oh, praise God. Me too. How many of you guys have been the boss when you cause division? Oh, no. Yeah, me too. So, all right. So we've seen this take place, right? And what happens typically when division begins to breed? Someone has something against what somebody did. And they start this little talk, and they get this little group. And then all of a sudden, the group grows, and it's getting bigger. And all of a sudden, this group becomes like this force, power, and stupidity. Right? Because that's what happens every single time. You know? And it's simple. God called us to be honorable to who pays our paycheck. So if we're involved as Christians in those divisions, if it's against the person that's given us the paycheck, it's probably not of God. Because they have a position in our life to bless us, even if they're a curse to us. They're still in a position. And I'm not saying God won't move us on. I mean, that's what's great about America, right? We can vote for someone else to be in office, and we can do this. We can make changes. We aren't stuck in this job that we dread and hate every single day going to because the people are complete morons. Right? But we can still honor that place and give it the due that we should when we took the job. Because when we took the job, we were all excited about having a job, weren't we? When we took the job, we were okay to take their pay at that point in time. When we took the job, when we were going to the interview, we were like, oh, praise God, I hope I get this job. When you got it, you didn't really want it, but you know you got it. So if you're in that position, you know, look for another job. Although be careful and get a job before you move on in this economy, praise God. You might just want to suck it up and do the best you can because right now is not the time to be looking for a job. It might be the time to just start acting like a Christian and become submitted to the authority God asked you to be under at that point in time. And you committed yourself to and gave a commitment and said, you know what, for that pay, I'm going to do a job for you. I'm going to do the job in honor. I'm not going to go, you know, do weird things that are unethical, but I'll do this thing that you called me and asked me to do. Because they did call you and they did ask you and they said, because you're going to do this, we're going to give you this. And there's an agreement under that. And if at the minimum, I'll honor that agreement above all else. You know, it's easy to get caught up in all the mess. It's easy to get caught up in all the drama because that's natural, worldly way of thinking. But if we're going to be godly, we got to move outside of that world way of thinking. We got to move outside of that stupidity and that moron mindset because that is what it is. It's going to lead you into chaos. It's going to lead you down a road you don't want to go down. It's going to take you into a place out of that silo where God cannot bless your life. Right. And what's more important? That you feel good? That you're on the right, some side of something, somewhere? Or that you're in the silo of God's protection for your life, where He can keep you safe and keep you whole and protect your family and keep you in a position of having the things you need, according to Matthew chapter 6. Okay? God can't meet your needs when you're not in His way. Right. If you take yourself out, you're putting yourself in the hands of the devourer, and he wants to eat you up. Right. And make no mistake about that. Make no mistake. You know, I want you to see something in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 6. I don't think I wrote it down. Yeah, I did. All right. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. 14 verse 6. No one comes to the Father except through me. Yep. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, we've always looked at that as like, okay, we got to go through Jesus to get to the Father. But again, what's created the silo coming from the Father is Jesus has made a pathway to this earth for us. Okay, he's the one that's the keeper of the silo. Yep. The Father's at the top, Jesus is underneath him, and every one of us is underneath that, right? Yes. But in the natural course of the church, in the natural course of how God is administering his gospel and his church in this earth, he's established the fivefold ministry: the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher. Okay? In our case, it's a pastor that's been called to help us and shepherd us. Right? So I want you to look at this in the context of what I'm sharing today. Because it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Sounds to me like delegated authority. How about you? Amen. Sounds to me like delegated authority. The Father delegated something to the Son. Now let's keep reading. Philip said to him, Lord, show us, on verse 7, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works. See, Jesus was establishing something. Even he had a Father he submitted to. Okay? His Father directed him, corrected him, and nurtured him. From the time that Jesus was born, his Father was involved in his life. Okay? Joseph is his natural kind of father, but he really wasn't, right? Jesus was really unique. He was unique in that he was born a virgin birth, which means he didn't have a natural father. He was outside the seed of Adam. Adam wasn't his dad, and neither was Joseph. His Father was God. And the Father nurtured him. And he said, from the time I was little, I allowed my Father to nurture me, to direct me, to correct me, to lead me down the path I was supposed to go on. You know, that's no different than what we do every single day in our lives. When we got saved, we got set apart. We got put on a place where we got set apart to a position in God. Where God now truly is your Father. That's why the Bible says, Abba, Father. Because we can cry out, Daddy, Daddy. It's not no more God up there, he's the Almighty King, you know, Jehovah, Jireh, the big guy. No, he's our Daddy. He's our Father. He is my dad. Now, I still have my natural dad, but God the Father and his brother Jesus Christ have become an example to me that my natural father never could be. He's giving me something my natural father never could. First of all and foremost, salvation. Eternal life. A new heart, a new spirit. A spirit that could connect to him once and for all, forever and ever. Yep. See, I don't have to wonder whether I'm in his kingdom. I'm in his kingdom when I got saved. I don't have to wondering like a nomad or someone that doesn't have a family. I have a family. I have a family. You have a family. We have a father. Amen?
Yeah.
If you didn't have a good earthly father, you got a father.
Yeah.
If your father and mother failed you and miserably, you got a father, a daddy that cares about you, and he's delivered unto you everything you need. To be successful, to overcome those areas where we're weak and we do not feel great or empowered. You got to get out of the messed up thinking and get into God's kingdom and His economy system. His economy system says you're free. His economy system says you're delivered. His economy system says you're not having to live in poverty anymore. His economy system says you're healed. You don't have to live in the chaos you do anymore. But His economy, His system, only works when you set your heart on Him as your Father. Because if you don't do that, if you get outside the silo, then you are in the midst of the same system and world crud that you were there before. Everything that the world is subject to, you're now made yourself subject to. Everything that the world is subject to, you now are in the same system. But if you get back in the fold, and you're in the shepherd's heart, and He's in yours, then He can protect you, keep you, make you everything you're called to be as a Christian here and a Christian forever. Amen? We've got to be in the mindset that we have a Father. And that Father has the ability to reach us in this world, set us apart, and make us a whole person so that we can serve Him wholeheartedly. I'm talking about a whole person, both emotionally, mentally, physically. He doesn't want a bunch of weak and sick people serving Him and being a representative of Himself in this world. He wants people healed. That's why Jesus came and He said, I'm healing people. I'm setting them free. I'm casting out the devil because I want to show my people what I've called them to be and what I've given them to be in. It's not a system based on this natural world. It's a system based on delegated authority that starts with the Father, flows to His Son, and flows to us. And thank God, we don't even, you know, He didn't even leave us orphans in this world. You know, I haven't ever seen Jesus naturally, but you know what? I look forward to the day when I see Him as I see Him in my heart, because I know that day is going to come someday. And the more I know Him here, the more when I see Him, I'm going to go, that's the Jesus I knew. That's the Jesus I recognize. Because I saw Him in the earth when I couldn't see Him in the natural. Then I saw Him. I saw Him. I saw You. I know Your character. I know who You are. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus was saying to Thomas when He said, hey, Thomas, you know, greater is the man, is the woman that worships Me and gives their life to Me and commits themselves to Me without seeing Me in the natural. See, we have a greater position than even Thomas did. We look at the disciples and go, wow, they were great. We look at Moses and Abraham. They can only look into what we live in right now. The disciples saw Him in the natural and it actually messed Him up. So much so that He had to call out Paul to do what the disciples would not do, and which was to go reach the Gentiles. Now, it doesn't mean they didn't change their heart and get right. They did. Praise God for that. But there was a time when the disciples were distracted, missing what God had for them. And He called out Paul and He said, Paul, you know what? I need someone that's going to go reach these people. That's going to reach out to them. Because these are My people. These are the multitude that were in Abraham's bosom. It wasn't just the nation of Israel. It was the seed of Abraham in the sense of the spiritual seed. And Jesus didn't come just to reach the Jewish nation. He didn't just come to reach the Israelites. He came to reach the whole world. Jesus was much more than just an Israelite. He was more than that. He was outside of that even seed in that sense. He was a seed direct from God. Everybody here has come from Adam. Whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, whatever. We all came from Adam. And guess what? God sent another seed. That we could believe in Him, receive from Him, and we could ultimately get ourselves fixed on what God is all about. Connect us back to the Father so we can do the things He's called us to do. Amen? Now let's take notice of what He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Or actually, no, I'm sorry. I already talked about that. I'm going ahead of my notes. Praise God. So understanding that we have a spiritual Father and that we have to be connected to that Father, that comes in many forms. When we connect ourselves to a body, a local church, we're becoming members in particular. Okay? Our church, you know, we actually believe in membership only from the context that, you know, it's a way for us to, it's a way for us as believers, it's a way for us as people to say, hey, you know what, I'm making a commitment here. Because it's easy to just show up and get in the pew, right? And just sit, and it's easy to just come in and out and in and out and in and out. But when you become a member in particular of a family, now you're a part of it, right? So the only context we really do membership class in or membership in at all in this church is to recognize your commitment to us and for us to reciprocate that commitment to you. That's why Pastor will typically line all the new members up here in the church and present them to the body. And he'll say, hey, you know, I receive you. Are you receiving me? It's a serious commitment. It's not something you should take lightly when you make yourself a member of a church, in my opinion. Because it's a serious commitment. It's a major commitment when you do that. Yeah. You're making a decision that I'm connected to this body and I'm gonna serve it in good and in bad, in sickness and in health. I'm gonna serve this body. It's a good thing. Yeah. Until such time as God would move you out from that body, and I believe if you're committed to the leadership, usually He'll use the leadership to do that. Okay, not always. I'm not gonna say, but You know, in my experience at the church, I've never seen anybody leave and be in blessing when they left outside the parameters of pastor's blessing on their life.
Right.
Never once. Have you, Pastor Cook? I mean, you've been going to church for a long time, right? Seen a few church splits?
Yep.
Okay, so when people leave the body and they don't have the blessing of the pastor, have you ever seen an example of that working for them? Never, ever? Never. Not one time. You can't think of one time? Not once. Sure. Just making sure. That's a lot of people. I mean, Pastor Cook's been around for a little while, you know, and went to a few churches. How many churches? I mean, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. Sue, have you? Never? Not once? Wow. Me neither. But I'm younger, so I haven't seen as much as these guys. So I've been around quite as long. No. You've got to go out with the blessing of the leader. If you want success in life, if you want success in ministry, if you want to be in the silo, you can't move outside the delegated authority God's placed in your life. What happens so often is we don't like the message that the leader's given us. And so we try to find another message. I don't like what you're telling me. It's not what I agree with. I don't like you right now. Well, that's all good. And you can step outside of there. I mean, how many times have you guys heard the testimony of pastor when he said, you know, I was ready to leave my church?
Yeah.
Even pastors can miss it, right? And what did God say to him? Bye-bye. Well, I don't think pastor liked that answer, and I wouldn't either. Man, this is God saying bye to me. That's not good. If I leave the church, that means He's not coming with me. That means I'm out there on my own. I don't want to do that. I was interested in leaving, but you know, not without him. Well, you got to face yourself in those situations, right? You got to face the facts. And I thank God pastor did face the facts, and thank God he stayed. And I was kind of around in those time frames, not as much, but you know, I saw a change in my pastor when he made a decision. There was a more tenderness and a love towards his people than I'd ever seen. And he wasn't just saying it, he was demonstrating it. Because he demonstrated it towards me. Praise God, he was more loving and caring and more compassionate towards me than he ever had been before. I saw the change in him. And it was about switching his mindset and staying inside the silo of protection where God has for him. Well, it's the same for us. It's no different. He's not some special person. He's just a person just like you and I that's called to a different office. But in his office, he's got to fulfill the same purpose and plan that God has for him as we do. It's the same. We can't take ourselves outside of that system and believe that we're going to have anything good. You're probably saying, what does this have to do? I didn't think I was going to get through this message today, by the way. But what does this have to do with the purpose of our church? I spent a lot of time talking about how you have to commit. You make yourself subject to authority in your life. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, it does no good to talk about training, stabilizing, or maturing the believer to reach the lost for Christ if they don't even understand how to submit to delegated godly authority. You know, I want to give you guys an illustration. I want you to think about the movie or the show, The Biggest Loser, right? Everybody seen that? Everybody seen that? Come on, I'm not the only one that's seen that show. Okay, I just want to... Raise your hand if you've seen that show. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, most people have. It's good. Because I didn't want to explain it if you hadn't seen it. I'd think of something else. All right, so The Biggest Loser is all about individuals that are a little overweight, right? Like myself. Except for maybe, you know, I am actually. I'm going to ask my wife. Anyway, moving on. So it's all about people that are overweight committing themselves to losing weight, right? And they get on this show, and who do they assign to them the moment they get there? What did you say it again? A personal trainer. Right. So when we're thinking about training, what are we thinking about? Somebody that's going to personally tell you what you needed to do. Okay. Well, in a church context, what is training? I mean, I want you to think about it, because this is just a natural way of illustrating a spiritual principle. When we're sitting in front of this personal trainer, and we're the biggest loser, right? We need to lose. He's not telling us everything that we're really... You know, it would be a really good idea if you got on the treadmill. But if you don't want to, it's all okay. God loves you anyway. Right? No, they're there to tell him, get on the treadmill. No, you can't eat that. I know you want to eat that. You can't. No, you can't. All right? They're telling them what they should and should not do. Amen? So when we're in training somewhere, whether it's boot camp in the army or it's the Biggest Loser competition, somebody's there. We got a personal trainer telling us what we should and should not do. And that trainer can only work on your life if you listen to what they say. The ones that ignore them on the program usually are off first. They're not the ones that make it to the end. I know you said don't eat the Twinkie, but I gotta have the Twinkie. Right? And what happens? Okay, how many Army do I have any Army drill sergeants in here? Anybody that was a drill sergeant? Come on, there's got to be. Oh, right back there. I knew I did. Okay, so when you were a drill sergeant... If the soldier, and you were telling him what to do, right? Training him, right? Okay, so when the soldier, that new little private that just showed up, and you're drilling him, right? When they said, I don't want to do that, what did you do? Did you just let him, oh, I know you don't want to do that, it's okay. Did you do that? I bet you didn't. He didn't tell him that. He said, I don't care what you want to do, you're going to get up and do it. And if you don't want to do it, you're going to be on the court martial. If you don't want to court, you know what? I got grass that needs to be cut over there. See my yard? Here's a pair of scissors. Go cut it. You don't want to do what I say, you're going to do that. How do you like that idea? I think I'll do what you say. I don't want to do that. All right? Motivation, right? But this is a natural way of illustrating the training stage. That's all it is. But it only works if you make yourself committed to the trainer. Okay, so in the context of a church, you know, pastors delegated people in our body that are trainers of the body of Christ. You know, he calls them department heads or this's or that's or, you know, under shepherds. And in Timothy used the word bishops, right? He said, set over the people, individuals of good character who can educate, who can train, who can, you know, this is what the body of Christ is about. So when you commit yourself to, say, Tammy in the choir and she says, don't do that, you would be really wise to hearken unto the voice of the Lord working through the delegated authority. Amen. Because even if she messed up, and she's messed up in her head, and she's whacked, and what she told you is totally screwed up. If you honor the voice of the Lord in the delegated authority, even if they're messed up and whacked, God will protect you. And I have seen that happen a few times. Have you not, Pastor Cook? Sue? I've seen that happen a few times. Where people gave... I think I may have given him some direction that was wrong. But you know what? The people that honored the direction didn't get outside the silo of protection. See, in the training stage, we've got to commit ourselves to the people that we're called to. Commit ourselves to. People are here to help us. Right? By His Word Christian Center isn't just about coming up on the pulpit and saying, yeah, praise God, it's a church, a dynamic ministry that works better if more people get involved. But it only works if people get involved and are willing to be trained. Nobody wants people to get involved that have a hard heart and a bad heart and aren't submitted and aren't committed and won't accept correction or direction or anything. You know, I just didn't have you not do that. Just stay in the pew, sit there until you can get your heart right with the delegated authority.
That's right.
Because you're not going to do yourself or anybody any good if you get involved and you create a lot of strife and division.
Right.
You know, this is a tough message to hear, right? Because we all can relate with it some degree or another. I mean, I've hit work and we don't even go into family. That's a whole other thing. One day when I master that whole situation, I'll get it figured out. But you know what? This body is a family.
Yes, it is.
And sometimes in my family, you know, my sons need their butts whooped. And sometimes I have to wipe their messed up nose. And when they're babies, I change their diapers. And they were really nasty and I hated that job. But I did it. But that's what a family is about. The ones that are so-called mature aren't the ones standing here on the pulpit. They're the ones out there changing the diapers. Because a baby can't change a baby's diapers unless you've seen that happen somewhere, let me know. I've never seen a newborn change a newborn's diaper. I mean, they're going to sit there and cry together with a diaper and wait for somebody that's a little bit more mature to come along that can change the diaper. Right? Come on, this isn't rocket science, right? This isn't that difficult, but boy, is it hard for our natural mind to do the things that God's called us to do? Is it hard for our flesh? You better believe it is. Boy, it's easy to preach and a lot harder to do. But when we're in a training stage, we're individuals. You know what? And I picked something up this morning. I was thinking about this. You know, 'cause I keep thinking, God, am I a mature believer? I hope I'm a mature believer. Man, I want to be a mature believer. And what I realized this morning when I was just meditating on this, I can be mature in one area and a complete idiot in another one. You ever notice that? I'm mature here, but man, I am a complete moron when it comes to this part. I'm dumb. I'm dumb as a stump. I'm like pooping my pants every day. I need somebody to come along and help me. Do you ever know? You know, so maturity isn't just about somehow arriving to this position, because the only true mature person is Jesus, right? The only perfect example is Jesus Christ. I love my pastor. I love him with a passion, but he is not my perfect example. He's a good example and a good godly example. But if I was only looking to him, man, I would be disappointed. And that's a reality. Is that not true, Sue? I mean, he's not perfect. But I'm not looking to him in the natural. I'm looking to what his office is and what his office anointing brings for my life. Okay? Now, I hope that he gets his life squared away. Not that it's not. That came out a lot worse than it was supposed to. It's not what I meant. What? Yeah, not on this side, right. No, he's squared away. Don't get me wrong here. I'm sorry. You know my heart. All right, so. But, you know, he's not my all-in-all example. And you know, when we move from training stage, we may have some, you know, I remember when I first started working with a pastor, I thought, man, he is it's like God or something. Well, I already knew him a little bit before I started working with him, so I kind of already burst. But when I first started the church, I'm like, man, that guy, like, wow, perfect. Look at it, falls the Spirit of God every time, never misses it. How does he do that? Well, then I realized he's not imperfect, okay? And I came to this realization one day, you know what, he's not all that. He's an amazing guy, an amazing loves the Lord, knows the Word of God. Man, I wish I knew the word like he did. But, you know, in the end, my bubble was burst. Okay? And this stage right here is training stage. There's going to come a day when, you know, drill sergeant back there is going to be done training his privates. And his privates think, man, this guy never makes a mistake. And if he did, he would have to make himself cut grass. But then they get to know him on the other side of drill sergeant. And they realize, oh, wow, he's just a regular Joe like me. You know, he's not all that, but he had a job to do. And so through the training stage, we tend to look to people. That's why Jesus said, or that's why Paul told Timothy to put people in front of people that are of good rapport and a good example. Because we know that baby Christians or people that are not as spiritual or people that are in the training stage, so to speak, which I still am, so to speak. So I already qualified that. So we all are training in some capacity or another. We know that it's important that they have good examples in front of them because that's their God, so to speak. It's not that their God is that person, but that's all they know of God, right? So when you declare the gospel of Jesus Christ to somebody and you tell them about Jesus, the only thing they know about God is you. Did you know that? Unless they had some other good example, like a grandma or a grandpa that was living for God, and then you're just, you know, kind of encouraging them to get back on that foundation, and they may look at you and go, well, yeah, I know my grandma and grandpa's this God, but you told me about him, but you don't follow him. You don't look like that God. So they may have a different example, but if they have no other example of who God is, the only example they have is you. Okay, so when you're having a baby and you're raising them up, the way God created babies, you know, and how they learn is they like absorb 100%, like sponges. They absorb their environment. And that's how they grow, right? And they learn to talk and they learn to walk and they learn to mimic and they learn to do and they learn all these different things. It's the same thing in a spiritual context in the church. That's why we have to be good examples, right? That's why I be careful if you want to be a leader, because guess what? You're probably going to offend somebody if you're not a good... I've got areas in my life that I just pray, God, hopefully people give me mercy in, because I'm just not all that. You know, I want to be better, but I know I'm not all that. Okay? I know I'm not all that. But I know that the areas that I'm not all that, I have the potential to offend someone. Especially that baby, that little baby. That's like a sponge and absorbing, and they're looking at me and going, wow, is that what God does? Wow, is that how He is? No, that's just me, dumb John. I'm a baby like you in this area. Look at that guy, Jerry. He's better at that than me. He's your guy. He's your man. Okay? See what I'm saying? So as we move into the stabilized state, though, as we move into stabilized, where do we get? What stabilizes a Christian believer? What stabilizes someone? What becomes somebody when they become stable, unmovable? Their foundation is strong. You can't shake them. Well, it's more than just speaking the word. It's more than just doing the word. It's about believing that the word is the thing you're going after. See, when a person becomes stable in their life, I know for me, when I became stable, when I was unmovable, and if I would have been offended by other things prior to this stage, God graced me through that. But you know when I became stable? Was when I took my eyes off of man and I put my eyes on Christ. Because ultimately, man can fail me, and they have. You know what? Some people have failed me. And I know ultimately I have the potential to fail people. But what's more important to me is that when Paul and Hannah are sitting in these pews up front, these young people that are impressionable, you know, they're good kids, by the way. But when they're looking at me, what's more important is not that they see me, but that they see the Jesus in me. Because if they can get their eyes off of John and get their eyes on Jesus, they will be stable. And if I happen to fall off my rocker and go sideways, which every person has the potential to do, you know, I can choose to go the wrong way, then I'm not going to take them out. Because their eyes aren't on me. They're on the Father and on the Son, Jesus Christ. See, when we're stable as believers, we have our eyes on the word, on the author and finisher of our faith, and not on. humanity. Because humanity will fail us. And then this will begin to help us move into maturity, which is being able to look past all the people around us and walk in love despite where they're at. See, when we're mature believers, we have the love of God rooted in our hearts. We're fixed on Christ as our example. And it's because He's our example, we're willing to serve those around us that have the poopy diapers. Rather than creating a division. And taking my group. See you later, Pastor Jan. I'm going over here with my group of divided people that have no heart for God. They can't follow man. They can't follow God. They can't follow anyone because they're divided, they're offended, and they're in strife and division, just like the Corinthian church was doing. That's why it was getting divided. That's why Paul said, I'm going to send Timothy for a point of attention for the Corinthian church so I can hold them together like a glue. Because all the other leaders they're following are not of me. They're not even of Apollos. They're out there somewhere on their own creating division. I'm going to send Timothy so that he can help focus them back on the real purpose of why they're saved, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? See, that's where we've got to get people to see. It's not about us. If you want to call yourself mature, then your mindset should not be on you. It should be on others. If you want to call yourself mature, then your mentality should not be, why don't they ever say anything nice about me? Why don't they ever tell me I did a good job? Why don't? Whine. Get the point? It's a big whine. It gets nowhere except for moving us outside the silo, getting us offended, and getting us in a position where the devourer can rip our heads off. And He does it and loves to do it, by the way. He likes to do that. Every single time I've seen somebody move outside of the protection of God in their life, it's because they received not the counsel that came from God through delegated authority. They haven't truly made themselves accountable. They haven't truly committed themselves to a father, a spiritual father in their life. And they truly, truly have not made themselves or put themselves in a position where God can bless their life. See, we've got to get past us and get to where God's at. I'm going to wrap up with this. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. This is Paul speaking. He says, not that I have already attained or I am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehended. This is Paul speaking. I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that you have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. You know, the body of Christ isn't without people to do the work of ministry. The body of Christ is without people that will submit themselves to the work of ministry in the earth. See, we don't press forward as one that has attained. We aren't pushing forward as to someone that I've attained. You know, I used to think in my mind, and it was just this morning, it grabbed me so loud. God, I hope I'm mature. I hope I'm mature. It's irrelevant. Because maturity only brings a sober mind. Maturity only brings me to more humility. Maturity only brings me to more service for the kingdom of God in the earth. Maturity only brings me to a position where I can hear God in my life in the areas I need to attain to change. So like Paul said, hey, I'm not one. And Paul was an amazing man of God. He did amazing things. He set a whole world. He changed the whole world based upon his preaching and his word that he gave according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whole countries, whole cities, whole areas, whole regions became followers of Christ based on his ministry. But what did he say? He said, I'm pressing forward. I'm not seeking those things that are behind. In other words, I'm not looking back at all my successes and all my failures. I'm going to let those things rest in God's hands, and I'm going to allow myself to keep pressing on, because I know one thing, I've not attained to the perfect image of who Christ is.
Right.
See, he said, it wasn't about his ministry success. It was about understanding the upward call of Jesus Christ. Which is that we are called to be transformed into the image of Him. Ministry comes secondary to that calling every single time.
Absolutely.
We've got to go there. When we go there, then God can use us. He'll put us where we need to be. He'll help us. He'll keep us in the position we need to be in. He'll protect us. If your family's hurting, or if you're in ill health, get your heart right towards God and let Him speak to you on how to do it. If your heart is right towards God, keep stepping in, keep standing in faith that you're going to receive what you are promised by God to get. Because it's His promise to you. It is His promise to you. It's not just, hey, maybe it'll happen. It's a promise. And when God promises, He doesn't lie. And what He says is going to happen, it happens.
Amen.
Praise God. Our world is going to hell in a handbasket. We need a God that can help keep us in heaven,
right,
on earth. And if we get focused on the true purpose of what we're called to be as Christians, get focused on who we're called to be submitted under, and truly submit to the training and stabilizing and maturing of the gospel of Jesus Christ, working through humanity or directly through God to our hearts, it doesn't matter. Ultimately, we're the better for it, and we're going to be blessed. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Pastor Cook, turn it back over to you.
Amen. Good job, John. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Church service wouldn't be complete without giving everyone a chance. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, then I invite you to come up here at this time and accept Him and make Him Lord of your life. If you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit but speaking in other tongues, then that is provided. You can receive that. We have personal workers that will go with you to a room and help you and take care of you. If you're backslidden, you're not where your heart knows you should be with Him, you can get that taken care of also. So as I close in prayer right now, and you want to do any one of those three things, just feel free to come on up here. We'll wait and be here for you. Father, we thank You for this time together this morning. We thank You for the good word that You've shared with us. Now I pray that these people will be blessed as they go their way. In Jesus' name. Amen.